All right, Ron.
Sure. Yeah.
Scheduling has made this difficult, and so I'm going to interview our guest separately. And that means it's just you and me. And you know what comes first.
Yeah, the horns.
You know what comes first. Yeah. The horns come first.
The sad horns come first.
The sad horns come first. But yeah. We can't be too sad because we're just leading off the show. And so let's create some fake enthusiasm for first place horns.
We're still in first, baby.
We're still in first. So we'll do the first place horns and 3, 2, 1. Hey everyone, welcome to week 11 after game 10 of the 2022-2023 season, or 2023-24 season of the New Orleans Saints. This is City Saint and Country Saint. I'm Charles Starr. After a lamentable and frequently distressing 27-19 or something?
Yeah,
27-19 loss to the Minnesota Vikings to fall to 5-5. Gonna check in with my stalwart friend Elron Mexico. How are you doing?
This one feels like the bottom part of a roller coaster track that I've been around, you know, like 5-6 times already, right? Or whatever. This is like
that's pretty good.
Yeah, we're heading down. Yeah.
Very accurate.
We'll see this part of the track again in a couple weeks, you know. We're about to go up the hill, hopefully, you know. But yeah, this is so familiar. This feeling right now.
I think that's right. It was a tough game because it started off just I don't know, pretty ugly from the jump, you know. Mm-hmm. Like traded field goals, which seemed normal.
Yeah.
But then we gave up 3 straight touchdowns to go into the half, and that's no way to live.
No,
that really is no way to live, especially, you know, to give up a 30-yard dagger right before leaving the field at the half. I mean, what the hell, man?
Yeah, and our offense seemed like it was playing worse every possession. Like the first 2 possessions, like we could kind of move the ball. I was sort of optimistic. I like the play calling at least, you know, like looks like we can at least dink and dump our way down the field pretty easily. And then that just kind of like slowly dissipated where we couldn't do anything.
Yeah. And then like it didn't even tick up again until, of all things. You know, Derek Carr getting knocked out of the game. I always forget if it's Derek or David. I refuse to, like, really learn it, and it's not good.
It's David Duke Carr is his name.
That actually makes it easier and sadder to remember. Oh, God. That is the worst mnemonic in history.
No, it's really Derek Carr, but I like calling him David Duke Carr. He's Derek Duke Carr, but he has a brother named David Carr. You know those. I know we've covered this already, but like there's.
Yeah.
There. He comes from.
That's no bueno. So, yeah, but Jameis came in, and that actually briefly, if erratically, perked up the offense.
Yeah.
Which was kind of weird.
I got a question. It was
fun.
I got a question for you. How did you feel like raw emotion, like before you could process it with the super ego part of your brain, when you realized Derek Carr was hurt? Like, how did you feel?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't bear him ill will, I suppose, but I did not think things would improve. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's not like one of those things where there's a guy on the bench who I'm like, that's going to be the shot in the arm.
Yeah.
So he went down and my feeling was, this is no good. Right. Like it's not Like, I don't think things are going to be worse, but we're losing by three touchdowns, and it's clearly not going to improve at all. What actually happened, I will introduce a theory here,
okay,
is that Jameis Winston hit Olave for a couple of balls, and we were like, boom, in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And my theory is that Carr hates Olave, yeah. or has completely given up on him running the route, or them being on the same page,
yeah.
or their being in a book club, because he like throws one pass to him,
mm-hmm.
and then the next play he gets knocked out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
In comes Jameis. And all of a sudden, this guy who's hasn't caught very many passes is open on yeah. every play.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I feel like maybe he was open before, too.
Me, too. Yeah. I'm thinking, and, yeah, absolutely. This is making sense, Charles. Like, I'm on board with this theory.
Also, Michael Thomas got hurt on the second play of the game.
Yeah.
He took a helmet to the knee on the second play and then was gone. Like, that was it for him. They're saying it was precautionary and, you know, the 2 weeks should give him time to return to the field. But
Yeah, we've seen him with injury troubles before, you know. He could try to fix this knee thing himself with some kind of weird bath or like elixirs or something, and then he's out the whole year. Yeah.
Poultices and witchcraft.
Eye of Newt.
Yeah, there's a guy waiting in his driveway who's like, "Oh, so now can you run?" With a backhoe.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, yes, let's see what you can do now. Yeah, that's crazy. Those Saints players need to move out of Kenner, because like those Kenner cops are like some of the worst. Like Jefferson Parish, you know, cops are like monsters, pretty much. I don't know why anybody would live there if you didn't have to. But yeah, I can tell a story about. I remember like my first ticket I didn't deserve was like. I don't know, we could cut this or whatever, but like, it is a terrible cop story. It has nothing to do with football. Sure. But I'll just say it. I'll be brief. Yeah. Yeah.
Look, we've got a hook. We've got a hook for it.
Yeah. It's so like
our entire receiving core being hung out to dry by Kenner.
The cops are just after our receivers. And Kenner PD is awful. So like, they've given me a couple of tickets. The first one, a couple of them I never deserved. I used to have, I guess what you call like a drug dealer type of car or whatever. I was like in my early 20s. And I would, like, this Kenner cop gets behind me in Luling. So this isn't even Kenner, right? And he's on my bumper. And like, I'm not going the speed limit. And I start slowing down. I'm like, damn. And I'm on my way to work. And I was working in the city at the time. And I'm driving to work, and then he will not leave, like, he's probably, like, I don't know, it felt like 50 feet behind me, like, or 40 feet, like, just very, very close. So I was like, man, this guy is scaring me. I'm going to get off on the first exit that I can reasonably get off on. And I was like, that's going to be the Williams exit. And I get over on my right, and I kind of, like, get between these two cars, so the cop really can't merge behind me. So then he like backs off, emerges like a couple cars back, throws his lights on, makes all the other car moves. Then he pulls me over in Jefferson Parish. I'm like, man, what did you stop me for? He said he stopped me for following too close. I was like, who did I follow too close? He's like, when you merged in here. I was like, dude, if anybody was following me too close, it was you. And he tore my car apart. Like he was just not really like. Asking me all kind of bullshit. Like, I didn't know the law at the time. And then I couldn't find my registration. I mean, my insurance. So, like, he starts laughing. He goes to get a screwdriver. And then he starts taking my license plate off with a screwdriver. And he's like, you're going to have to leave your car here and shit. And I'm, like, freaking out. I'm already late for work. And then, I'm scouring the glove box. And I finally find the insurance. And I show it to him. And he's kind of, like, pissed. Because now he can't detain me anymore. And I had nothing on me. And Yeah, he still broke
yeah,
me the
ticket. Yeah, but now you're driving without a plate.
Yeah, yeah, but he had to give it back. He had to give me the plate.
Yeah, no,
back.
I know, yeah, I know.
He would have got me with that, too. Yeah, I had another kind of cop pull me over. Check it out. I took the seatbelt off to reach in the glove compartment, and when he got to the window, I'm handing him my shit, and then he writes me a ticket for no seatbelt. I'm like, I was wearing the seatbelt to drive. I took it off to go to the glove box. Like, these kind of cops are devious. But anyway, so I'm like, fuck this. I'm young. I'm idealistic. I'm going to fight this ticket in court. And I go to, and I went there. I had to take off work, not get paid, go to the court. And then that's when you just get another court date when you go there. And then they make a deal with you. Hey, if you just pay like 80% of it right now, it won't even go on your record. And it's done. And I was like, I can't continue to fight this. Like, I just feel like, and then you just, that's when you learn like, oh, this system is just like set up to just fuck with anybody they want to fuck with.
Right.
Know? So anytime I hear a story about it, and that's just one instance, like I got a couple more like that, but like that was the first one that really opened my eyes to like what Kenner PD does, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway.
I have to admit, I have never been pulled over when I didn't deserve it. And as I just remember, I was driving in Manhattan. I was in like I was on Broadway and I said upper West Side, yeah. You know, Zabar's country.
Yeah.
And, I was just coming, I was going back to my parents' house in Queens from law school, and I just make this left off of Broadway and immediately get pulled over.
Damn.
And he's like, there's no left turn on this street. And I'm like, ah, you know, whatever. I don't know what to, can't say anything. He's telling me I can't see the signs anymore, but I didn't notice any signs, so I just am like, okay, whatever. He gives me the ticket, but of course I fight it. I always fight him.
Oh.
One of two things are going to happen. The police officer won't show up, or the police officer wants overtime, and then you're screwed. I go to the hearing, and I'm like third on the docket, and the first guy on the docket, they read like a bunch of charges, you know, running a stop sign, running a light, evading, you know, no license, no registration, you know, this whole rigmarole. And the officer steps up. And so the officer actually is taking overtime. And the officer says, I don't recall.
Oh, wow.
And so dismissed.
Wow.
Next guy comes up and it's the same thing, but also speeding. Like, it's even longer. You know, it feels like it's one of those jokes, you know, where Santa's like reading the naughty list and just like it unspools. And so they read all this stuff and they turn to the officer, and the officer says, I do not have a recollection of the event, and I just dismiss it.
You,
and now I'm
you
like,
gotta be
fuck,
giddy. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, fuck. Yeah. I'm not even going to have to do anything. And so I step up, and the officer goes, at exactly the time I recall, at exactly date I recall, a white male who looks exactly like me makes a left turn on Baba Street where there's a no left turn sign, and da-da-da-da, and literally, like, narrates it as if, you know, it was like he was narrating my own memories. And the hearing officer looks at me, and I just go, whoops. I didn't see the sign. No, I don't have a defense, really. Yeah. And, you know, I'm just like, you know that I just pled not guilty, hoping that he would do the same bullshit he did with the first two guys if he showed up at all. And so now what am I going to do, perjure myself? And so she just knocked it down to like a non-moving violation with an egregious fine. And so all I had to do was pay money.
Yeah.
And by the way, the next time I drove down Broadway, this sign was so prominent.
Oh.
This sign was like comically obvious. It had everything except like the fucking blinking here arrow.
It's like,
you
LEDs
know,
on it. Yeah.
telling me not to turn there. And so I was just, this was a big no win for me. And so I just ate that one, you know.
But you fought it, and that's cool. That's cool that you tried.
Yeah, always. I always fight it. Yeah. I always fight it. I got a ticket. This is, oh, you know what? Mm-hmm. There is one that was bullshit. Now I'm going to remember the one that was bullshit. About a year ago, I was driving my kid and his friend. I picked up his friend in Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy. We had to drive through Williamsburg to get to the BQE to drive out to the stadium. And I'm making a left onto the service road for the BQE. And a cop who's standing in the street just pulls me over. And I'm like, I have no idea what I did. He pulls me over and he said, you made a left turn. You didn't look. There was a pedestrian. You know, they're gone now, mm-hmm. but there was a pedestrian who you didn't give the right of way to. A woman with a stroller and you didn't.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I don't know.
What yeah, the fuck? Didn't see
what?
That.
I think it's bullshit, but I can't say anything. And he writes me a ticket, which is bullshit because mm-hmm. I know it's bullshit. Like, basically, they have this thing set up where there are like two cops waiting on the service road and they write a ticket. And as soon as the guy pulls away, the next person who drives by, they pull over and they're just like writing these tickets like they're Lucy at the candy factory. and so I just fought it. Yeah. You know, I just fought it, sent in a thing that said not guilty. I get a thing back with a hearing date, and I think it's in like 2 months, and I'm like, wow, that's a quick turnaround. And then I look closer, and it was in 14 months. And I was like, well, that sounds more like New York.
Yeah.
And then 3 months later, I just got a letter dismissing it completely.
Dang. Oh, you did the right thing.
And I was like, I have no idea why, but I'm not questioning it.
Yeah.
But that's why you always fight them.
Yeah. You called their bluff. Man. This has been your law minute.
Yeah, that's more fun than talking about this. All right, everybody. Ron and I couldn't get our schedule straight, and so I had to find a Vikings fan on my own. Fortunately, I talk to a Vikings fan every week when we play poker together. And so he was there and available and relished the opportunity to come on and make fun of me. So here is our Vikings fan this week, my longtime friend, Travis. Travis, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. I'm doing well. My name's Travis Plager. I've been hanging out with you virtually for poker for several years now since the pandemic.
That's right.
But we've known each other for 20, 30 years now at this point, I think.
Yeah, it's been a long time. We go back to the early days of the poker boom when there mm-hmm. was a regular live 3-table tournament at the UCB offices in New York City.
That's correct.
And so Travis is, you do a lot of musical theater stuff, but specialize in musical improv, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I moved out here to the DC area in 2006 and started up a show called iMusical for improvised musical. If your memory serves correctly, the iPhone was just coming into being around 2006,
uh-huh.
2000. You know, that's around right around the time right. where it was starting to get popular. And so I latched onto that and like, ooh, I'll come up with iMusical. That'll be a fun thing. And we are now in our 18th year, I think, if the math is right, 17th or 18th
right.
year.
Right, it is the iMusical X.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Although I prefer to think of it as the iMusical X Pro.
Of course. They keep talking about a lot of features, but it's always the same show.
It's always the same show. That's correct. Yeah.
So you are a Minnesota native, right?
That's correct. I was born and raised in the Twin Cities. I left the Twin Cities when my family moved to Massachusetts when I was in 10th grade.
Oh, okay.
But I grew up in Minnesota, and I have always been a pretty big Vikings fan.
Do you go back at all? If you were going to be in town and you wanted to go to a game, could you say to the guy, all right, don't fuck me here. Let me get my tickets back.
I could. I've never wanted to do that to him.
Yeah.
I don't go back enough where that's an issue.
Right.
I only sell him the regular season. I don't sell him playoff tickets.
Right.
So, for instance, last year, I took my dad and we flew back for the playoff game against the Giants, which they sadly lost, but we got to see the playoff game there.
It is very hard to imagine that less than a year ago the Giants were in the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm hoping that Daniel Jones for his massive contract that he gave a little cut to Ed Donischel, the defensive coordinator for the Vikings, because that's that's basically why he got that contract, is because of that playoff game.
I mean, coming out of that game, everyone thought that the team that was phonies was Minnesota.
Oh, of course.
Like they spent the whole year kind of living on borrowed time, and then they lost to the Giants, and so everyone was like, oh, yeah, this team is fake, but the Giants, that team is on the come up.
Oops.
And that's why you don't gamble, kids. That's why you don't gamble.
Exactly.
So Travis agreed to come on this program to talk exclusively about the 2008 NFC Championship game.
No, in fact, I did not. I spent a little bit of time preparing for this, like watching as much as I could stomach of that game, and as much as Bounty Gate is an abomination. When you hear the audio that was coming out of that locker room about how, you know, you have to, I want every play someone hitting his head. Every play I want someone hitting his head. When you hear that,
right.
It just makes your stomach turn. It's just like, oh,
yeah,
God.
In light of more recent news and the way that Brett Favre stole money from needy families in Mississippi, isn't it true that in Minority Report, they would have punished him the same way?
I'm going to abstain on answering. I'm going to abstain there.
Since you've done prep work, this is actually a good time for me to introduce what would be a... Like, if we were doing a regular episode with the three of us...
Sure.
We would introduce you to the segment, Get Our Ass, where you get uninterrupted time to just unload and insult us and the Saints and bring glory to your team.
Oh my God.
So, Travis, are you ready with the mean cannon get our ass?
So I'm gonna disappoint you here, okay? Because I've done some prep work, done some research. I have to say that, well, I'm from Minnesota, so you've heard of Minnesota Nice, right?
Oh, no.
Right? And listen to me. Yes, the Saints won their Super Bowl, okay? You won your Super Bowl. That 2009 season, magical. Bounty Gate aside, the Vikings in that NFC game, they fumbled like three times. Favre committed the Shakespearean interception at the end of the game that everyone knew was going to happen. So, I mean, like, the Saints won that game. Let's be clear, okay? But since that moment, it's hard to think of a franchise that has been more kicked in the nuts in big playoff moments than the New Orleans Saints.
That is correct. You may be the best guest ever.
Putting aside the Vikings, right? The Vikings are still always going to hold. We got that. At least you've got a championship. Flags fly forever, and we don't have that. So you're never going to get me saying, "Well, the Saints have it worse." I mean, that's never going to come from my lips. But it's pretty close. I mean, when you think about, first of all, the greatest NFL play ever, now that Minneapolis Miracle, that was against your team. You know what I mean? And the defensive penalty, well, let's talk about the Minneapolis Miracle if you want to talk about that for a little bit. I mean, like, that's.
I see that in my nightmares. I see that collision where it's, Marcus
is it Lattimore?
Williams?
Morrison?
No, it's not Lattimore. It's Williams who plows into Ken Crawley.
Yeah.
He plows into Ken Crawley and knocks them both down. And I think what hurts more than anything about that play is that the Vikings were not trying to score.
No.
The idea was to catch and step out of bounds and then, you know, face Mecca and say a prayer so that you could kick like a 50-yard field goal to tie. Was it to tie? Or
was it
50? It was to win. 50-yarder, the field goal would have won. Yeah, they were up by a point.
Yeah.
And so that's all they wanted, is you just wanted a chance. And then they slam into each other, and Diggs has the presence of mind to see that we Keystone copped it. And he just takes off laughing.
Oh.
Leaving literal movement lines behind him. Like a cartoon. You know, some real Roadrunner shit while we've got Wile E. Coyote at the bottom of the canyon. And I screamed. I was in a packed bar.
Me too.
You know.
I also screamed, but it was a very different scream from your scream.
Yeah. No, my scream was like Kitty Genovese.
My scream was probably like a teenage boy's first orgasm. That was probably my scream at that point. It was something, and the only tiny bit of regret now is knowing that in fact that was the peak, because the next week they were destroyed by Philadelphia.
Right. That is the funniest thing is, because I mean, we've lost to the Vikings in the playoffs a lot.
Yeah.
You know, we lost to the Vikings in the playoffs when I was a kid. We talked about that when
Wade Wilson.
That was the cha-ching.
It was like 44-3 or so. Like, it was something, yep. 44-10, maybe, 44-10.
I don't remember. It was brutal. Yeah. It was really bad, and I'm pretty sure it was the day of my grandfather's funeral.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I get home and watch them. Like, I'm still wearing, like, my slacks and button-down shirt, and I watch them get destroyed.
You were dressed appropriately. It was great.
I was dressed appropriately. That's right.
Yeah.
There was the, you know, the Minnesota Miracle. A couple of years after the Minnesota Miracle, you got us again in the overtime game.
Yes. And that game was one of the games, too, where the Saints were favored in that game.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say they were the better team. I think they were the better team, but they weren't the better team that day. Mike Zimmer had their number, and the defensive switch that he made to put Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter in the middle instead of on the ends, they couldn't deal with that. And
that's not even the part that killed me, because we did go to overtime, but then you won the coin toss and just marched down the field like we weren't playing defense and scored a touchdown and ended it. I don't like losing the games. What I really don't like is that every single time Minnesota just absolutely pours salt on the wound and then drips lemon juice and then tweaks it with their finger by getting blown out the next week. Like, every time we get knocked out by a team that plays above their head, and then they get drunk for a whole week and then don't show up.
Okay, all right, so The three games we've mentioned so far, we haven't even gotten to this past weekend, but the three games we've mentioned so far, one of those games, I agree with you, they played over their head, and that was the most recent one, the one in 2019 with Kirk Cousins. That game, that team, I don't believe was as good as the Saints, and they had a great game that day, and they won, and then, of course, they got what was coming to them in San Francisco by just not even being able to compete. But the two teams before, that Brett Favre team, They were just as good as the Saints that year, and I think
the Saints were 13-0.
I think whoever won, that was the true Super Bowl that year, because whoever was winning that game was going to beat the Colts in the Super Bowl. So
pretty good chance.
So that was a decent team too.
Like,
and then going back to 87, to that game where you're a little boy in your funeral outfit there, going back to that game. That team was a drop pass away from being in the Super Bowl against the then Washington Redskins at that point in the following week. Darren Nelson dropped a pass and they would have went to the Super Bowl otherwise. So they were a very good team. I'm thinking
of a different team, because the team that I'm thinking of, the Vikings, went out and got ripped up by the Giants the next week.
That was Culpepper in 2000. We affectionately call that 41 Donut, or 31, no, 41 Donut. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at that game. I was at that game at Giant Stadium. And that was a nice fun one because I was in full – I was friends, good college friends with someone, still am, still am friends, with someone who family owned season tickets. And she said, hey, you got to come with me to this game. And so we went, and I was in full Viking regalia sitting next to a bunch of Giants
looking like
owners.
The QAnon shaman.
Exactly. I didn't have the makeup, but I had the horns. I had the big horn helmet, and it became very clear, like midway through the second quarter, that this game was going to be the game that it was. And I was getting a lot of ribbing from the fellow people sitting next to me until about the middle of the second quarter. When it was obvious what was happening for this game, everyone was just starting to feel bad for me. You know what I mean? At that point, because it wasn't even a football
game. They just put you in a ship and set it on fire.
Well, no, they did the opposite. They they got me the most drunk I've ever been in a public place.
Nice.
I mean, there was just constant beers from everywhere there. People, they would like, you know, they would point to the beer guy. It'd be random people around my section be pointing to the beer guy saying, hey, get the Vikings guy a beer. It's on me. Get him one. It's on me.
This feels like
all
okay. You know what the opposite of Minnesota nice is? An entire section of a stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, hoping to see you in a Vikings helmet in a mugshot.
did not happen
like
it was good,
like
though.
you know one of those like reactionary penny savers that publishes all the mugshots of the week. They wanted one with a guy with purple face paint and like the front end of a Texas Cadillac.
Oh my god Oh, that's bringing up memories now. All right, So then we have to fast forward now to this past weekend.
Right, right. And that's all the time we have.
Oh, no. There's not, even though I feel bad for Saints fans, I still get a lot of joy seeing the Saints lose. And
I understand.
And part of that is because it's just hard to let go of that Super Bowl year that the 2019, we were not winning the Super Bowl that year. But with Brett Favre, that was a team that could have won the Super Bowl. And so that still hurts. And thinking of the Minnesota Miracle and remembering Sean Payton doing the skull chant before the end of that game.
I know, that's hubris, man.
And seeing that, like, even though Sean Payton has nothing to do with your team anymore, like, that sins of the father still stains
whole
team.
And so
it's hard for me to let go of that. Maybe in time
it is hard for me. I mean, like, obviously, it is, all hubris is hubris in retrospect. But
of course.
We were down 21 at the half.
Oh,
we took a one-point lead with less than a minute left in the game. And I think what really kills me is right before we hit the go-ahead field goal, we ran a wide receiver pass where Willie Snead took a pitch and threw to a wide-open Alvin Kamara with nothing but green in front of him. And, you know, Snead was a quarterback in college, and he overthrew Kamara by just enough. And if Kamara catches that and we score a touchdown instead
of
a field
goal,
it's
all over. Yeah,
it's over because there's no accidental touchdown on the Stephon Diggs play. They actually have to try to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't happen. And so, like, those were a very painful minute of game time to see that fall. And then you're like, well, at least they'll hit the field goal, you know? And then it all fell apart, which is sort of what it was like in the Rams game. Because in the Rams game, the Saints still kicked the go-ahead field goal after that no call. And then the defense honked up a field goal of their own. Mm. And so it's like,
It should have never come to that.
It shouldn't have come to that. But, you know, like, it's as poker players, right? You don't want to get rivered by someone, because, but you can't get mad if you didn't bet the turn.
That's right. That's it. If you aren't playing your trips correctly, you can't get mad. If you slow play your aces, you can't get mad when they get cracked. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And that's what it was. You know, we gave up the points that we needed to never give up, but still very bitter. Still incredibly bitter.
Well, I mean, now we're in very different places, right? Because now the Saints are, I'm still mystified as to why they got Derek Carr. Like, I don't understand why, I don't understand what that process was all about. Like,
well, I mean, think about, they need, they're old, right? They're a surprisingly old team. And they need a quarterback. They don't trust Jameis Winston. You can kind of see why, right? I mean, he threw the two touchdown passes, but one of them was a miracle catch by Olave. It was like a really nice catch by Olave.
They both were miracle catches.
The other one wasn't a miracle catch. The catch, but it was lucky that it wasn't intercepted.
Results is what I should
miracle say. Miracle results, right? Two miracle results.
Yeah.
And then all of his other passes, he airmailed a couple of open receivers, and he threw two, like, really insanely bad picks. And just the fact that the Saints' defense played the fourth quarter and kept giving him chances to score that third touchdown, and he just kept throwing the ball away, that's why they don't want Jameis to be their regular quarterback.
I watched this game at a bar in Arlington that is known to be a Vikings bar, and there's like 100 mm-hmm. people there every week, in Vikings gear and all the TVs. It's a really good experience to go. So I'm there in that moment, and as soon as Jameis gets into the game, at first I was like, well, this is not great because he's actually going to throw the ball. But the good news for a Vikings fan is he's going to throw the ball to us.
Yeah.
When I'm imitating Jameis Winston, one hand is always over my eyes, and then the other hand I'm throwing the ball.
I don't know. I know why they got Carr, and I expected better of Carr, but that's because I knew him as a figure of stats, and I hadn't really watched him play. But I don't like really watching him play.
It's tough. I mean, like,
so
here, how do you want to introduce this part, I guess? Because we should talk about the game itself, right? We have talked a little bit about it. I mean, like, the Saints had a whole week to prepare for Josh Dobbs. And
they had 2 months to prepare for Josh Dobbs. No, we've been getting killed by quarterbacks who can get out of the pocket. Tyson Bagent ran for like 70 yards against us.
Oh, my Lord.
What's his name? The surfer in Jacksonville.
Trevor Lawrence. Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence kept getting... He was on like a bum leg. And every time the coverage was good, he would be able to leak out the side and he ran. It's a recurring problem. And we knew all week that it was going to be a problem. I think you have a good one in him. When Cousins first got hurt, I was just sort of shooting the shit with my son. And I said, with Murray coming back, that Dobbs might be a guy on the market. And I thought you would have to pay a lot more than a pick swap at the bottom of the draft for him.
That's got to be
inconceivable.
That's got to be the best pick swap ever, right? It's hard to think of something that would be that.
You paid nothing.
Yeah.
You paid nothing for him. You paid like I think you actually paid with like a BOGO coupon. They have to give you another quarterback. And I talked to another friend who is a semi-pro gambler.
Oh, wow.
And his take on Dobbs is he's like, he's brilliant. Like, actually one of the smartest people playing the position. And that's why he could walk in when he didn't know anyone's name. And he didn't even... Who did they beat the week before the Saints?
Falcons.
The Falcons, right? Yeah. And, you know, the playbook wasn't that dumbed down. I watched the end of that game. I was cheering for you that week. you know,
he had not had a single rep with anyone, right. any starter on that
he
team.
He didn't know the names. Yeah. I saw the film of him, you know, working when Cousins got hurt, just an impromptu session to learn the snap count. And I said, he won a game calling plays like button hook at the Chevy.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know how much during the week afterwards you read or heard stories about his experience there. But I mean, like Kevin O'Connell was talking about how the way the plays worked for that week was for that game. Once he got in was all right. Tell them this is the play. And he said number 14 on your wrist. And so then he would read out. Spider 2-3 banana left or whatever. He would read that out. And then the whole team would go, okay, and then they'd go. And then for the remaining of 10, 15 seconds on the headset, it would be Kevin O'Connell explaining, okay, what this play is the guy's going to go out. He's going to do...
right.
Like,
yeah.
That's what he was doing the whole game.
Yeah. Like I said, you got a good one. Oh. You know, he was really good in college and... The game at the pro level is much more brains than anyone appreciates.
Charles, I'm trying to be realistic, right? I mean, like,
yeah, you should.
I have a lifetime of Minnesota expectations getting crushed. I mean, like, I understand that, and Josh Dobbs, this could be that magic situation where you have someone with his skill set behind, for the first time in his career, the best team he's ever had. Offense he's ever had to operate.
Can you imagine? He won two games. When Jefferson comes back,
oh,
and you add that weapon. I mean, I'm not trying to gas you up so you think that you've got like the second coming of Tom Brady or something.
Oh, no
but
one
what
thinks
you
that.
Don't have, but what you don't have is a season that bottomed out when Kirk Cousins got hurt.
And that's what we thought. You have that's what we thought we were going to have.
But what you aren't. And what the Saints are is in first place because you are in a division with good teams.
Well, I can still dream. The Lions have a one-game lead. And
oh, it's that close. Okay.
They have a one-game lead, and they control their own destiny because they haven't played the Lions once yet. So,
oh, okay.
So
it's like that with the Saints and Atlanta, too. We play them twice at the end of the season.
Well,
we play them after the bye this week, and then we catch them in the last week of the season.
Well, from watching both of those games back-to-back, the Saints are a much more credible team than the Falcons are. So,
oh, good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, so I think the Saints' defense is much better. Mm-hmm. That alone is going to be – Heinicke is like Josh Dobbs without the brain. So, that's
– We've played him before.
Yeah.
So here's my last Saints Vikings question.
Sure.
Because when did you move down to DC?
I moved to DC in 2006.
Then that was before it anyway. Did you ever watch games at Bar None?
Yes. Yeah, that was the Vikings part.
Because shortly after you left the city, Saints fans took over the back room at Bar None.
Oh.
They let us have the back room. And so the front room was a Vikings bar.
Oh,
and the
my
back
lord.
Room was a Saints bar. And then, but I mean, of course, I don't go to the bar to watch playoff games. I would watch those at home. Like, that was kind of wild, apparently, that, you know, half the bar was for one and half the bar was for the other.
I'm surprised people didn't get killed.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't. I don't read the local news. Maybe people did. Could you imagine all the guys in the back celebrating and then they have to walk through a crowd of really, and it's like, whoa, this ain't Minnesota nice.
No, and again, going back to my first point really about this is that you're not talking about the Saints versus the Cowboys or the Vikings versus the 49ers, right? Where one side has a history of championship success and the other has been kicked in the nuts. You're talking about two franchises
that really wanted it,
and it just so happened that the Wheel of Fortune went to the Saints that year instead of the Vikings. So, but other than that, I mean, you're talking about two franchises that have really, So I actually feel for the Saints fans. I actually feel for you guys. Yeah.
I thank you, and I thank you for only moderately getting my ass. So everyone, that is Travis Plager. You could find him in iMusical at where? What's the theater?
It's Washington Improv Theater. We're in residence at Studio Theater, which is in Northwest DC in the downtown area. It's iMusical.org, and you'll be able to find out all about him. It's been a pleasure.
All right, awesome.
Skol Vikes.
Thanks, Travis.
Skol. There you go. Yeah, if you could see me, you would see me doing the Skol chant. All right.
Yeah, he is. He is skulling in my face. That is how he gets my ass.
Thank you much, sir.
I don't even know what to make of this game, man. It's like another thing. Kamara had 7 receptions on 7 targets for 33 yards. The hell are we doing, man?
Yeah, that's every week now. Yeah.
Set like, mm-hmm. Why are we throwing screens that we have no idea how to block for?
Man, we used to be so good at screen. I know, like the screen game was our bread and butter. This was like they were just ducking. They were just weaving through our blockers, or our blockers were just not seeing them. Like we couldn't get anything going with that. I was shocked that.
Yeah, the timing always seems messed up, mm-hmm. that someone is like gobbling him up as soon as they catch the ball. And that's not what happens when they throw screens against us.
No, definitely
not. You know?
Yeah.
And Hockenson had 11 catches for 134 yards. Yeah. And he was driving me nuts because every play he looked like literally physically dead.
Yeah.
And then he would get up and catch another pass for 15 yards.
Yes. Yeah, he looked terrible. I thought he looked like mid-zombie bite. You know, like he got bit by a zombie like 4 hours ago. Yeah, something like, why does he look like that? Yeah.
Yeah, he had a couple of them where he looked like he was like dying of consumption, but still huge.
Yeah.
And then he had one where he got hit by Lattimore, I think. And, you know, he hit the ground on his back and his legs snapped over his head. And I watched that and I'm like, if that happened to me, I would be just folded up forever like a travel backgammon. You know, like a fucking, my ankles would snap around my head like a hinge, like a, you know, like a clasp with like a permanent hinge at my pelvis.
Yeah, and he just kept going. I was like, okay, well, that'll knock him out of the game.
Up.
Yeah, I was like, because he was already kind of hurt before. I was like, well, he ain't coming back. And then like, no, Hockenson's back on the field.
Yeah, and just catching everything. And it seemed like at the beginning of the game when we had Alante Taylor on him, he was actually covering mm-hmm. him. And I don't know what happened, but he just killed us.
Yeah, this defense, we're playing differently than we did at first, you know, for sure. But you could kind of see this game coming because, like, I might have jinxed this or cursed this or whatever because, like, I played Dobbs in every fantasy league I got because I was like, this is the exact kind of quarterback that kills us in every which way. And true to form, I mean.
Interesting.
Yeah, he comes, maybe I jinxed this, but, like, he was killing us with his legs.
Interesting.
He was throwing on us. I mean, it was kind of like, you kind of just could tell. And this guy is good. Like, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's smart is what he is. He's not, he doesn't have like that classic arm strength, but he can run. Mm-hmm. He knows the field. We spent the first half, he just kept picking us apart. And then it's our pass rush is a nightmare. I hate it. Everyone feels like kind of old. And whenever they actually do get pressure, they can't close the deal. They got mm-hmm. the one sack, and when they got the one sack, I jumped out of my seat. I was so happy.
Yeah, because of the way that pocket collapsed. That's the only reason we got that sack, because he had nowhere to go else. You know what I mean? He couldn't.
Yeah, but that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's
right?
True. You're right.
Like,
yeah.
Right when you cave the pocket in, it's not supposed to have an escape hatch, and he constantly has an escape hatch. And I mean, his touchdown run was some Tecmo bullshit, man. we had him, and then he ran in a bunch of different directions, and then he was gone, and he pointed to a blocker who doesn't exist, and Alante Taylor looked, and then he was gone. You know, it was, everything was ugly.
Taylor took the wrong angle on that pursuit. Like, if he like, almost just stays laterally and doesn't try to approach him from that weird way, like, I think that's not a touchdown, but... And, like, I was like, man, they just picked it. They just traded for this guy. And this guy was just, like, goofing off in Arizona before this. I was like, why can't we get a guy like that, you know? Why don't we have a Joshua Dobbs?
Yeah, I mean, right. We don't have that happen to us accidentally.
No.
But, again, who knows, you know? Think about what's going on with the people we drafted, right? Peyton Turner still injured. Trevor Penning, one play. Isaiah Foskey, healthy scratch.
Fuck.
Salvadori, healthy scratch. You know? How are we bad and old? Because our kids don't even play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, A.T. Perry caught a ball. That was about it.
I was going to say, he caught a couple. The only thing, good thing that came out of this game was an A.T. Perry sighting, you know? He slipped on one pass, which should have been a first down, and he dropped one pass, which should have been a first down. But he caught one nice ball, and then he caught that crazy throw from Winston when he rolled all the way left and then chucked it all the way back across to the far sideline.
Classic Jameis.
I said this in our chat, but Jameis has traded in his rocket for a trebuchet. He does not know where that ball is going when he lets it go deep.
Boy, that's exciting, though. I love watching the ball whiz around the whole field. Like, I was like, it's a noticeably different, like, spectator sport from Carr. Like, when Jameis is in there, that ball's just flying around. Somewhere it's not even close
to it. You catch the snitch, you win the game.
Yes, it's so exciting. Like I said, I started drinking mid-Jameis and didn't stop until probably like 10 o'clock that night because some friends came over after. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy the Jameis experience. I might not get it again. Let's get drunk. Let's watch this. Man.
Yeah, it was definitely exciting and weird. And he really did. He really just, he threw that ball over people's heads multiple times. And then when it really mattered, when the game was on the line, he just hit the safety right in the nose.
Yeah. He just kept, like, how many picks did he? He ended up with two, right?
He threw two.
Yeah, right.
He threw two touchdowns and two picks.
I so wanted that Hail Mary at the end to be a pick just for him to have three picks, but just because that would have been funnier. I was like, I was just like, well, I hope somebody catches it. I hope we catch the touchdown or they get the pick. Right. Like, this is a Jameis game. This ball needs to land in somebody's hands at the end of it.
Well, I mean, once it bounced and I saw Shahid kind of dive, yeah, I was just like, oh man, we're going to lose this on the two-pointer.
Yeah. that would have been a classic Saints Jameis game. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking this, like, there is a lot of similarities between Carr and Jameis, except their contracts, of course, you know. That's terrible, right.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And it was like, I think we was, like, they said Carr was out with a concussion. And my theory is like, all right, so like, Jameis is like if Carr was playing with the concussion. So we would just, we get to see what Carr would be doing if the old NFL rules was in and they just let him sit in there, you know, just.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he wouldn't remember that he hates Olave.
Yes, exactly. He's like, oh, that guy.
He'd be like, oh, that number 12 is open.
Yeah, he's just chunking it around. Yeah, just having fun.
I could throw him the ball.
Yes.
Yeah. We better beat Atlanta.
I know.
That was the best thing about yesterday, was watching C.J. Stroud come back and beat Atlanta.
Yeah.
I stuck around for that and watched that unfold. You know, I couldn't get a Titans win over the Bucks, but I did get to watch Atlanta lose. and keep us in the most comically stupid first place of all time. We're 5-5. Atlanta's 4-6. And right in between us at 4-5 is Tampa.
Yeah.
And Tampa still has to play Jacksonville and San Francisco, which are like two serious games that I can't see them winning.
There's no way.
Otherwise, all three of us play just each other and a bunch of garbage.
Yeah, the last real team we play is the Lions, I think. And after that.
Yeah.
And maybe the Rams. I don't know if you call them a real team. I don't even know.
The Rams are like 3-6.
Oh, we're good then. All right. Yeah.
They can't get out of their own way. Yeah. They should. I feel like it's weird that they're so bad, but they're bad somehow.
Well, good for us. We just gotta. We'll just lose to the Lions and then hopefully beat most of everybody else, and you know we're in the playoffs. That's what I'm.
That's what I'm. Yeah, that's it.
That's what I'm.
That's
hoping
what I'm
for.
Saying.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping for. And somehow we gotta figure. There's got to be another bad team in the playoffs. I was talking to my friend who's a Seahawks fan, and he's like, if the season ended today, we would play them,
oh,
I guess.
Man. I would take that.
Yeah, they're just, yeah. It would get ratings like C-SPAN. But
C-SPAN 3, yeah.
Yeah. Right, C-SPAN 3. It's just Book Forum. Nothing but Book Forum.
Yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts on this?
I don't know the extent of Carr's injury, but like I'm fine with more Jameis. Like I feel like our record is we are no better or worse with him under there. That's like my only take, I guess. You know, and we're more exciting. We're more exciting with
it. I don't know if I can take it. I mean, I so dislike. I have a genuine dislike for him on a personal level.
Oh, yeah, that. And, he is a bad guy. Or know, he did some bad
he's
things.
He's a bad guy. Yeah. He's a bad guy. But, I mean, I turn all of that off when I'm watching, you know? Like, and it's no good.
Yeah.
It's no good to think about the fact that if Slobodan Milosevic could, like, throw a football, I'd be like, I don't know, we should give Slobodan a look.
Let's give him a shot.
I guess I'm just hoping it gets interesting and a little more consistent. Like, I don't mind it being silly, but I'd like us to win.
Now that you got me thinking, though, we don't know how many psychos we are rooting for every week, you know? Like,
no.
Like, I'm going to just pick a guy. Like, let's just take Foster Moreau, right? Like, that guy, what if he's got Aaron Hernandez type of like bodies on him already? You know, what if he's killed? And we're just like, yeah, Foster Moreau, way to go, man, good catch. And like we could be rooting, we don't know how many like serial killers are terrible.
If he has three bodies on him, still the worst thing he did was drop that pass in the end zone.
Yeah. And for that alone, we should disavow him forever. Yeah.
He can always redeem himself by catching a pass in the end zone.
That would do it. But
you
know, yeah.
Don't go light a votive candle, Foster Moreau. You got to catch a pass in the end zone.
You got to do it. Do you know who I do think is a bad guy? Is that damn Zach Bond.
You know what? I have a way of dealing with him. Did he even play? I think he did. Let's see what Zach Bond. Let's the Zach Bond report.
Ooh, what do we got? One tackle?
Zach Bond had two tackles.
Okay. Two.
He had two tackles. He played, was in for 15 plays.
Okay.
Not including special teams. But straight up, Trevor Penning played one play and it was on special teams.
God.
Adam Prentice was back, so Saunders did not get to play an offensive down, which is a crime.
That's a crime. That is a damn crime.
And Taysom wasn't even in that much.
Yeah.
And you'd think that he would have played more with Carr going out and with the trouble we were having on offense, but nope. Somehow we got even less Taysom.
Knowing Dennis Allen, he was probably scared if Jameis gets hurt, we can't lose our third string, you know, which would have probably been
that may be true.
That's probably what he was
thinking. That's actually probably right. Though I will say if Jameis also got hurt and we had already had Taysom Hill hurt, then we would have had no choice but to put Collett Saunders in at quarterback.
That's the dream. I would love that.
That's the dream.
I don't care if we lose.
That's the dream. He's our emergency quarterback.
Yes. If we could lose 56-0, I would still have the greatest time watching that game.
That's right. I mean, it's no different than Jared Lorenzen in the end.
Yes.
All right, there we go. That's a good close. So that's it. You know, we don't have anyone to sort of join us in this. It is just you and me. And now we can close with the sad horns.
All right. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Thank you from me, Charles Starr, and my buddy L. Ron Mexico. Thank you to Travis Plager, our guest and Vikings fan. And thank you to Lunar Snow for keeping up with the sound engineering. See you next week, folks.